did you buy it from?
Dave. I can't remember his last name. Somebody I work
with. Well, that's a big problem for you.
A used motorcycle changes hands.
It turned out to be a stolen motorcycle, and they had to return it to the rightful owner.
I would never sell my boss a stolen motorcycle.
But are his hands clean?
You don't have a bill of sale. You don't have the title to the motorcycle. All of your answers to me are suspect.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Sean and Andra Burgess are suing Kristen and Paul DeBoer for selling them a stolen motorcycle 4 years ago.
Order. All rise.
Yeah, it's case number 60 on the count in the matter of Burgess versus DeBoer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Judge, parties have been sworn in. You may be seated.
Mr. DeBoer, who rides a motorcycle in your house?
My kids were riding the motorcycle.
How old are your children?
19, 16, and 14.
You live on big property?
No, I do not.
Where were they riding it?
At my dad's house.
Does he have big property?
Yes, 3 acres.
Is that where you kept it?
Yes.
How long had you kept it at your father's house?
Probably about a month.
Where was it kept before that?
At my house.
What was it doing at your house? Don't look down there. Look over here.
In the garage. Just sitting in there until we'd go ride.
So it was sitting in your garage, and since it was not street ready, you couldn't take it in the street, right?
Correct. Correct.
Correct. So it was doing nothing but sitting in your garage.
Correct.
For a month before you brought it to your father's house.
Correct.
How long had you had it sitting in the garage with a 19, a 16, and a 14-year-old? How long had you had it sitting in your garage?
About a month. I had it in the garage.
Just 1 month?
Yeah.
Which means that you owned the bike for 2 months?
Correct.
Who did you buy it from?
Dave. I can't remember his last name. Somebody I work with.
Well, that's a big problem for you. Dave, I can't remember his last name.
Yes.
That is a big problem for you, Mr. DeBoer, because this is what this lawsuit is about. This lawsuit is about Mr. and Mrs. Burgess, who purchased the motorcycle that for some reason you wanted to sell, and it turned out to be a stolen motorcycle, and they had to return it to the rightful owner, whose name, I assume, was not Dave.
It was, Your Honor.
Dave! That's, of all the names, of all the names, where did Dave live?
In Ample, Idaho.
Is that where you purchased it from?
Yes.
So Dave is the rightful owner of the motorcycle. The person that you purchased it from. And how much did you pay Dave for the motorcycle?
I believe I paid him.
Don't look over there. I believe I paid him.
I paid him $500.
You have a check made out to him?
No.
Maybe one of your kids stole the motorcycle.
No.
I don't believe that you bought it from him.
I did.
Then you would have proof. You'd have a bill of sale. You would have something you didn't have. Show me.
Your Honor.
Take it.
Okay.
Show me.
I don't have it with me, Your Honor. We moved
well, where did you
got
think?
Lost.
Where? Got lost. Now, you went and picked up the motorcycle at Dave's house, right?
He brought it to my house.
Really? And how did he know where to bring it? You had a conversation over the telephone, over the internet? How did you find out about the motorcycle?
I worked with him.
You worked with Dave?
Mm-hmm.
You still work with Dave?
No.
Is that because you left or he left?
I left.
So you know where Dave is so that you can go and get a copy of the bill of sale?
I went and I talked to the store where we worked, and he's no longer there.
There was never a Dave that worked at Walmart in the police report.
Let me explain something to you, sir. I don't know what your story is. All I know is it's suspect to me. Now it's very possible maybe one of your kids brought it home and you didn't know it was stolen. Maybe you're not a thief. I don't know that. All I know is that I don't believe what you're telling me. And you took $500 of their money, which you don't deny, for stolen merchandise. And all I have to make a judgment about is whether you knew that you didn't have title to that motorcycle. And all of your answers to me, Mr. DeBoer, are suspect. All of them.
We would have never sold
him. All of them.
If it was stolen.
All of your answers to me are suspect. That you worked with Dave at the same place, but you don't know his last name. That you don't have a bill of sale because you moved and you didn't have a bill of sale. That you don't have the title to the motorcycle because, I don't know, because you moved and you didn't have title to the motorcycle. That you kept it in your garage for a month until you took it to your father's property. All of this sounds very suspect to me. Now, Whether you're protecting yourself or protecting somebody that you love is not my business. All I have to make a judgment is, do I find you suspicious enough to believe that you knew or should have known that this was bad merchandise?
I would never sell my boss, and at that time, my friend Sean stole a motorcycle.
Then you should have given him back his $500.
Yeah.
Then you should have given him back his 500 bucks. Then we wouldn't be here.
He's
the honest truth is, if we had gone to register the bike, we would have got duped the same way they ended up getting duped. And it's unfortunate.
You know something? I don't believe him, and I don't believe you. I don't believe either one of you. And as I said to you, I don't know how the bike came into your possession. I certainly don't believe him. I don't know how it came into your possession. All I know is I don't like the smell of it. Now, I am going to ask you, Mr. and Mrs. Burgess.
Yes.
You had this bike for 4 years. What were you doing with it for 4 years?
When we first bought it, we bought it for my kids to ride, but they outgrew it real fast because it was a small bike.
How small?
It's a little XR80, so it's, you know, like a, I don't know.
A starter bike.
Yeah, basically a starter bike.
And how much did they cost new?
At the time it was reported stolen, which is in September of 06, and the time we bought it, which was August 6th. So at the time we purchased the bike, it hadn't even been notified as a stolen bike.
It's not what I asked you. If you say I don't know, then tell me I don't know.
It was $1,500 in the police report, and that's where I get that number.
Okay. How old are your children?
Currently, they're 22, 19, 16, and 12. And it was our daughter who was looking to ride. Sorry.
Now, I'm addressing my question to you, Mr. Burgess.
Yes.
What you said to me was you used the bike for 4 years. Your kids used it as starter bikes, and they all used it, but then outgrew it, correct? Is that what you just told me?
Yes.
1 year. Sorry.
So you used the bike for 4 years?
No.
I'm not speaking to you.
I used it for 1 year, not for 4 years.
Why?
Because they outgrew it within that first year. And then I bought other little bikes for them.
Oh.
This one was waiting for my daughter to... My daughter was the youngest one.
So you just put it aside for 3 years?
Pretty much, yes.
Until your 12-year-old could ride it?
Correct.
Okay, I got it. But your other two used the bike?
Yes, for a year.
So you got use out of it?
Yes, some use. Yes.
Yeah, you had use out of it because you got some value for your $500, right?
Yes.
Good. How much value do you think you got for your $500?
I don't know. As much as the bike was worth when we went to sell it. So, you know, we got a good deal on it at $500.
Yes.
And I would say the bike was still worth $500 because the bike was worth more than that.
Really?
When we purchased it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. How much more was it worth when you purchased it?
I would say probably at the time it was probably worth, you know, $800 to $1,000.
So it was worth almost double what you paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we come to an interesting part of the law, because if you're getting a really good deal on something, then you may have noticed that something's wrong unless you don't see a title. You know, that's like somebody stopping you in the street and saying, want to buy a watch?
Yeah.
I have this Rolex here for you. It's a $5,000 watch, but I can sell it to you for $100. And you say, fine, I'm going to take it. Then you take the watch into Rolex and you say, I'd like to have it cleaned. And they say, this is a stolen watch. We're taking it. You think you get your money back?
Probably not.
No. Do you know why?
Because it was stolen?
No, because you have notice. The law ascribes a certain amount of notice to people who are getting a real good deal on something so that they're supposed to say to themselves, you know, this is a really good deal.
Your Honor,
you're not paying attention. I want you to think about the Rolex. Your husband just said to me that the bike was worth twice as much as what you paid for it.
Do you see and the you check purchased and it, was and made you out of?
Just a second. His bike was worth twice as much as what you paid for it. He got a really good deal on it. And when you bought it, you took it without the title. I want you to think about the watch. Guy says, I got this real great deal on a Rolex. I don't have the guarantee on it right now. I'll get it to you, but I'm willing to sell it for a third of what you could buy in the store.
He needed the rent money, and it was made out, the check was made out to her landlord.
I don't care.
We bought the story.
You're not, Well, listen to me. You're not hearing what I'm saying
to you.
We're
guilty of knowing that we trusted these people
in
a situation that
you're not hearing what I'm telling you.
Oh, I hear we were stupid, okay?
We were more than stupid.
But this is a very common thing that happens.
You're trying to talk over me?
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today...
He didn't have lousy credit, Your Honor. He didn't have any credit.
If he had no credit, it's even worse. Because he's not responsible. You knew that from the beginning. If he was responsible, he would have had credit.
Real cases. Real people. Judge Judy. Sean and Andrew Burgess say Kristen and Paul DeBoer sold them a stolen motorcycle. The defendants claim they purchased the bike legally from a man named Dave.
Don't try to talk over me.
I'm trying to prove that this was an unjust certification of their
proceeds. And I'm telling you that from what your husband just told me, you got a $1,000 bike for $500. You took it without the title. And not only that, I don't feel badly for you because your kids used it.
They moved and we tried to get a hold of them to get it, ma'am.
Excuse me, step out.
No, I don't feel intentionally or maliciously, but...
That I got messed over.
Yeah, business deal gone bad.
I bought a stolen bike that I didn't know was stolen.
It is what it is.
Maybe I'll come back with a guy that I bought the bike from, I can find it.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Hill versus Allison. Step forward, please.
Zena Hill is suing her boyfriend's son, 24-year-old Corday Allison, for the return of a car or the money to pay it off.
All right, Miss Hill.
Yes.
Your case comes under the category of that old adage, no good deed goes unpunished. The question that exists for the court is whether or not you have a cause of action. Let me see if I understand the nature of your case.
Okay.
This young man is the adult son of your boyfriend.
Yes.
And several years ago, he came to you and asked you if you would co-sign for a car loan for him.
That is correct.
You agreed to do that. Now, at the time you made this agreement, which was foolish to do, because if he had a father, and I assume that that was your boyfriend, if he wanted to get a co-signatory on a loan, he should have gone to his father. You probably had better credit. So yes. He came to you.
That is correct.
Now it's several years later, and your credit has been substantially reduced because Mr. Allison, while he eventually pays, doesn't pay in a timely fashion.
That is correct.
He catches up when they threaten to repossess the car. And even at one point, you decided that you had had enough. You took back the car.
Yes.
He took it back from you.
Yes.
So now he has possession of the car. And Ms. Hill, you either want the car or you want him to pay it off.
That is correct.
Now, one of the things people have to realize when they co-sign for a car or for anything, for anybody, whether it be your boyfriend's son or a sister or a brother, the first thing you have to realize is that the reason they need a co-signatory on that loan is because they have lousy credit.
But he didn't have lousy credit, Your Honor. He didn't have any credit.
If he had no credit, it's even worse. He's coming to say to you, I'm not a good financial risk, so would you help me out and co-sign this so that I can get a car, an apartment, a dishwasher, or whatever it is? And then he pays eventually. He may pay late. Because he's not responsible. You knew that from the beginning. If he was responsible, he would have had credit.
But I initially signed because he said that the money would come out of his check, which is how it was set up in the beginning. Then when he moved to Columbus.
You mean the money would come out of his paycheck.
Right, and it was set up that
way. That presupposes that he has a paycheck.
Right.
And if he had a paycheck with some history, why couldn't he get a car loan without your signature?
Because he had no credit. At all. He never established credit, so I just wanted to help him out.
Where was his father?
He was there, but I could get a better interest rate for him.
Then that was something you volunteered to do.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
That's between you and the IRS, which now knows all about you and where you work, and that you get paid hand to hand in cash. Do we understand each other?
Yes, ma'am.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Zena Hill says her boyfriend's son, Corday Allison, owes for a car loan that's in her name.
Zena says Corday has ruined her credit.
Now, if the bank repossesses the car and sells the car at auction, and they come after you for the difference between what the car is worth and what was owed, well, that's your damages. Now, you can't get the car back. It's not your car. And you can't have him pay you money because that wasn't your agreement to pay you a lump sum of money.
Well, the agreement was for him to pay, and he's been late and ruining my credit. I just wanted to get the car so I could...
I understand that, but that relief doesn't exist in the court. What you want doesn't exist. What does exist is a good lesson. If you co-sign for somebody and you have good credit, which allowed him to get a better rate on his car,
right,
you ran the risk of him destroying your credit.
And that's what happened.
Well, that's what happened.
And that was never my intention to do that.
And?
So, but it happened. But it was never like I was ducking and dodging my payments or ducking and dodging her, you know? And I was never like, oh, okay, that's what you get, or...
I'm not suggesting to you,
what? Mr. Allison, that you did it on purpose.
Yes, he did.
You just did it because you were...
I did it on purpose.
It's not...
Yeah, that's
he
awesome.
Didn't ruin your credit. Purposefully, he did it because he was irresponsible. But you knew that.
And he has no insurance on the car. He's driving around with no insurance with my name on it.
Call...
It's my name on the car.
And listen to me. Call the bank. Tell the bank that he's driving around with no insurance.
The bank knows that.
Well, don't tell me what the bank knows. Send them a registered letter that a car is being driven without insurance.
Right.
There is a loan outstanding on the car.
It's not outstanding now.
Yes.
Was it paid off?
Oh, no, it ain't paid off. You're right. I'm sorry.
No, because I paid up $1,300 to get the loan up to date.
Never.
Just a second. Well,
and he hasn't
just
made
a second.
A car payment just, since February.
Just a second.
And he's then had the car since April.
Let the bank take the car. Then you have fixed damages if they come after you instead of Tim, which they will do if he doesn't pay the loan.
Well, that's what I was trying to avoid to have.
Well,
the
I'm sorry, you can't do
credit.
That. Courts are not set up for that. You are entitled, however, to the money that you paid when you took the car back and he did not pay, which was
$473.41,
according to your sworn complaint.
Right.
And if you had the car in your possession, and according to you, your daughter was driving it.
On my registration.
Just a second. Your daughter was driving it.
Right.
Then you pay
for the car.
Well, she
was taking it to get the car checked out because the car was in bad shape. The check engine light was on.
Listen to me. You had the car.
And he maliciously reported it stolen.
You paid the car loan because you had possession of the car. You are not responsible for paying the car loan when he had possession of the car, which according to you was $473.41.
Right, and the car payment, and that was in back pay plus another car payment that month that he hadn't paid in March. Because he hasn't made a payment since February. And he's had the car since April now.
Madam, let me explain this to you. I read your sworn complaint. You said you made up his missed car payment.
Right.
$473.41.
Yeah, but I gave them a check for $500 and I have the canceled check here. And then plus I made two more car payments.
I'm not answering that again. I've already answered it twice.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
If you don't make your car payments, are they going to repossess your car? You want to keep your car?
Yes, I always want to keep my car.
Great. Then I suggest you make your car payments.
I will.
When?
From now on. On time.
Oh, good.
He hasn't made a car payment since February.
Ms. Hill, I can't help you. Courts don't deal with that.
Okay.
Court can't say you have to give her back the car so she can sell it because you make your payments late. That's part of the problem when you co-sign for somebody. He's the primary on the loan. If he doesn't pay it, the bank's going to take back the car. Unfortunately, your credit's ruined anyway. That's the risk that you took.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will have fixed damages, and based upon those fixed damages, you can sue him if the bank comes after you, because he gets paid in cash. You work for somebody and get a paycheck?
Yes, I do.
Well, then they can attach her pay. Do you understand?
I understand.
They can't attach yours because you get paid in cash. That's between you and the IRS, which
right.
now knows all about you and where you work, and that you work 5 days a week, and that you get paid hand-to-hand in cash. Do we understand each other?
Yes, ma'am.
Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $473.41. Thank you. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out. Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
month, I'd get a letter saying he's being delinquent.
I made a couple payments late. I was going to school.
23 times for $677 in late fees.
I mean, yeah, if it happened, it happened. It was hard times.
He'll never have help again because that car's not going to last forever.
And that's where I was at.
And when it does, how's he going to get another one?